Welcome to the Perfect Storm. We are live today from the South New South Wales Conference Big Camp. Kyle, how are you?
Doing really well. Thank you, Phil.
Justin, you good?
I am fine and dandy.
Keep going.
You don't want to listen to me.
No, keep going.
Yeah, we've got Julian. You better introduce Julian.
Yeah, I'm Julian. I'm as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Let's see how we go.
Why don't you be nervous around us, Julian?
You should be, mate. You should be.
To our radio audience, we're in the fair city of Jindabyne, just outside of Jindabyne.
Yes.
Snowy mountains. It's beautiful.
And the reason we weren't on last week is because we were actually setting up for camp and we completely forgot to do an episode.
That's 100% true.
Apologies for that.
Today we talk, well, every time we try and talk about current news and Bible prophecy. But today we are going to focus on the war in Iran. And that's going to be our main topic. We're going to cover a few other things, but Kyle, let's kick us off. Do you have any comments?
Yeah, the YouTube comments. Is it possible that the petrol crisis we are having is man-made on purpose to reduce greenhouse emissions? Thoughts?
Julian would know most about that.
100%.
Only because I watched your last three shows. Is it possible? Absolutely. All things are possible in these sorts of situations. Is the dog wagging the tail or is the tail wagging the dog? Is this a smoke screen to try and get us to stop looking in another direction? I don't know enough about it, but yeah, it certainly is possible that it's a bit of a smoke screen or something.
Mm-hmm. Everything we say on this show is our opinions. Not the opinions of Faith FM, but any other comments there, Colin?
Well, it's just somebody, George, has chimed in. He said, successive governments for the last 20 years have been responsible for our current fuel crisis, and sin is responsible for our global crisis. Jesus is the answer.
Amen. Amen. I've got to say, governments don't want the fuel price of oil to go up as fast as it has, because the inflation that's coming towards us will be very, very significant. And governments find it hard to win elections if they've presided over inflation. And inflation is going to be probably double what it's been, because the price of diesel has doubled. And that's just going to get passed on. And they're talking about a six and all this about what we may end up with inflation. So I'm not sure governments would orchestrate it to this level. But who knows?
Sure. You'd say that it's pushing the Tesla stocks up. Is that what Kyle would say?
Kyle loves Teslas. He just loves them, but he doesn't own one. And I think you're a bit of a hypocrite.
It's not true.
You've got to buy one.
I think you've misunderstood.
Did I tell you about that one that I saw coming out of Canberra Airport a couple of days ago?
Tell me about it.
I was following along behind it, just come out of the airport, just put the Perfect Storm on, listening to all this stuff about the oil crisis and everything else, and following a Tesla and thinking, I need one of these, because he's paying nothing to get to wherever we're going. But we go into some roadworks, and next thing there's these orange bollards flying off into the bush and kangaroos going, no, not really. But just, I'm going, what's going on? And I think what had happened was the auto drive system had lost the white line and didn't see the bollards.
Definitely wasn't user error. It was just the auto drive.
The front right corner. He was texting and not driving.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, and he pulled over about 100 metres up the road, but I thought that was interesting.
It's probably a rental.
It could have been a rental.
Kyle, any other comments?
No.
Good?
They're the good ones. And all of Cassandra's are good as well. I just haven't time to read them all.
Yeah, we love Cassandra.
Yeah.
Favourite. Look, we're going to talk about the war in Iran. But we're going to talk about Trump and how unpredictable he is at first. Like it's a bit like you're walking down the street and Trump will just start jumping, or he'll move to the left, move to the right, and then he'll start riding a bike. Then he'll be on a unicycle. Then he'll be flying. No one knows what he's going to do next. Any comments on that? Trump and his unpredictability.
He's 100% unpredictable. I'm not sure he knows when he gets up in the morning exactly what he's going to do. But I think he plays it to his advantage as well. It was interesting today, he'd given this deadline, 10 o'clock our time it was, that they were going to 48 hours was up and they were going to blow up all their power stations and bridges. The Iranians actually put people on the bridges and around the power stations because they're pretty convinced Trump was going to blow them up. So his unpredictability, I think, is a... He plays it to his advantage that if he says something, he may very well do it or he could completely change his mind. But he's... I think the markets are just... They're just like, on. He'll come out and make a statement and they'll go, and then this, and it's just, it's a pretty chaotic way the world's sort of going, revolve. I think it's probably how he did business. He kept the other side always guessing, always on the move, and then eventually, because as it sits now, the Strait of Hormuz is open, and oil's going through, and everyone's sort of all just talking about Trump's all over the place, but he's actually achieved what he set out to do just in the last 48 hours. What a roller coaster, but I'm over the roller coaster. It's just crazy.
What's your take, I'd like an opinion, on where Trump is at now, coming in as the president who wasn't going to start wars and president of peace and stopping all the wars, but then getting involved in wars? Is this a choice of his own? Has he been forced into this, or is it intentional? Is it a feature and not a bug?
I think it's a progression for him. Like it started with the tariffs, right? So he starts putting tariffs out, and he has to follow through on all of his promises, and his promises don't really make sense as far as, you know, strategically. Like, we'll do this, now we'll do this, we'll do this, we'll do this, but... As far as the tariffs are concerned, that seems his strong arm. He comes in and he goes, right, you're going to disagree with me, I'm going to chuck a tariff on you. We see that with Canada, we see that with most countries. And then he's got to the stage now where, you know, people are pushing back or countries are pushing back, and it's, what do you reckon?
Interesting, you're talking about it from a peace perspective. There's an ancient book like written 600 years before, so 600 BC, and there's a verse in there and it says that there's going to be a ruler, and I'm not saying that this is Trump, I actually believe it's somebody else, but there's going to be a ruler who by peace shall destroy many. You heard that before? I don't know if you've come across that before. By peace shall destroy many. When you look at the Hebrew word for peace, it's actually the word shalvor, and it means peace, genuine or false. Because how can peace destroy, right? Peace is what we're all hoping for. This is what we're all trying to get together and get all this sorted out so we can have peace on earth. But peace can actually destroy if it's a false peace. And so you can actually be saying that you're chasing peace and you're going to be the guy who's going to bring in peace, but it can actually be a false peace and not a real one that's actually going to benefit everybody.
I'm amazed at how America's acting alone so much. He's telling the Europeans, I'm going to dump NATO because you won't come and send a ship. Australia hasn't done what I need them to do, and he just doesn't care about the rest of the world. And in Revelation 13, the lamb-like beast, which we've identified as the United States, at the end of time, it's not going off to get permission from the United Nations or forming coalitions with this country or that country. They're doing what they want, and the rest of the world falls in line. And that is exactly where we sit today. Because, look, I think China and Russia are involved on the Iranian side. I saw the other day that the Americans have lost 16 Reaper drones in a month, where they didn't lose that many in the entire Iraq war. And so they're using satellites from another nation to help target them. So China and Russia, particularly with Ukraine, America's on one side, Russia's on the other. In some ways, this is a proxy war with the Soviets and the Sinai Soviets, the China. I'm amazed how America just can waltz in and not care what everyone else thinks. Like, he's insulting us as his ally all the time, and they're so powerful and we're so dependent on their protection that we kind of don't really say, we don't push back on it. That's a powerful nation, and we're witnessing really the birth of a new America that acts all on its own. It doesn't care what the rest of the world thinks.
So they've come out with the ceasefire deal this morning, a couple of hours before the bombing was meant to start. And then I've got a story here on the screen with missiles raining down on Tel Aviv less than 2 hours after the ceasefire agreement began. What do you think the play is with America, Israel and Iran? Do you think America's going to step back and let it be an Israel-Iran thing? Or is the ceasefire going to last, or is it all going to be on again tomorrow?
Are you the prophet or a son of a prophet? You remember that these get recorded and you can look back on them next week and go, oh, I can't believe I said that.
Most of his predictions have come true, actually.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, they keep testing me. Yeah.
Okay. Price of fuel next week? What do you think?
I don't really know. I don't have a clue. I do know we're offering an excellent book today on Israel's role in prophecy. Mm-hmm. Most of the Christian world is completely confused about Israel's role at the end of time. And a lot of America's overseas policy is influenced by what I would call a false biblical understanding, a false doctrine. And the book that we want to offer to people this week, Kyle...
Israel and the End of the World.
By?
Steve...
Wahlberg. Yeah. It's such an excellent book. If you're listening to the radio today and you're really confused like we all are, what is going to happen next week? We don't know the specifics from day to day, but we do know the big picture and where the world's going because the Bible's made that clear. This book is one that you really should get hold of. I think you've memorized the number, haven't you, Phil?
Kyle's got the number, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, thanks. It's 0482-082-876, so you text the word Israel. Just one word. Text that word to 0482-082-876, and the bot will get back to you, get your address. We will have the book hand-delivered to your door, and we've actually had 73 of these books go out already. It's a very popular one, so we just wanted to offer it one more time, Israel.
They've only sent one missile towards Israel since then, and it may have been... It was only 2 hours after Trump made his statement.
It says missiles...
Well,
multiple.
Let's wait and see. I think we've got to wait and see. The rest of the world, with our supply chain so dependent on overseas countries, we in Australia are hoping and praying that this is over and we can get fuel back down to the price it was and there's not some rationing or some crazy thing coming in the future because we can't fulfil our needs. So... I don't know that it's over. I think the Persian people, it's a biblical nation, are a proud people. And I'm not sure that they're going to want to just to publicly submit to the Don. But I do know in prophecy, America is the last superpower in history. So I don't expect China and Russia to defeat America and that they'll become the next superpower. That's not how the Bible tells it all. This is the last superpower, and that's why we're a bit excited about what's happening.
It's a good way to go. You're charging in and you're going, right, I'm going to do your power grid. The effects of that, the effects of the power grid, you know, we're a digital world now. So what things are affected? Everything's affected from the power grid. So, yeah, if you want to cripple a nation, that's the way to do it.
And right before this this slot, we actually had a seminar on money, mastering money. And Julian,
we should get people to look that up too.
They can look that up.
Yeah.
But so Julian was saying not to invest in stocks, but I wonder now that we know that America will be the last superpower, which stocks would you then pick, knowing the way the world is going?
Yeah. Just to clarify, I didn't say don't invest in stocks. We talked about diversifying and some of those sorts of things, but it is a very risky place to invest, especially if you don't know what you're doing and if you're not educated. So that was my warning.
Well, Kyle often takes things out of context.
My question was...
He misquotes us all the time.
My question was which stocks to invest in because we know that America will be the last superpower.
Tesla. Tesla.
We do not endorse Tesla.
Windmills. Okay. Windmills. No, I'm not giving any financial advice. In the last session, I admitted my incredible losses over making uneducated guesses around stocks, so I'm not going to say to you.
That's what qualified you to do the Mastering Money seminar.
That's right, because yeah. you learn more in 1 year of bankruptcy than in 7 years of success.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay,
so Amen. That's it. There should be a verse on that as well.
There should be.
So
I just want to ask Julian, but because the debt levels of the world. And one thing I heard the other day, America, to wage this war, they're already running $2.5 trillion deficits. A trillion is $1,000 billion. They do 2,500 billions just to be normal. Now that this war's started, their deficit's going to blow out even more. They're at $39 trillion of debt today as we go to air, Kyle, something like that. Mm-hmm. What's the consequences of that level of debt? That's what I want to ask Julian. As the money expert.
Add some more context to it. It says the US is trapped in a debt spiral that can only end in one way, with dollar destruction. Every single fiat country currency in history that was not backed by physical gold and silver has eventually failed. 100% of them, no exceptions. So if America is the last superpower, with which currency will it be functioning, do you think?
Am I going to look back at this in 2 years and get it all wrong? Probably. But the borrower is always slave to the lender. So we have to ask the question, who is the lender? If there's this trillions of dollars that are being in debt, where are they coming from? In traditional financial systems, they would have come from a really, really rich bank or something like that. So, and that is still going on. It's also coming in trade from other countries where we owe other countries. America owes other countries. But I think the only way that this is going to end is in pain, with either the destruction of the fiat currency or the extreme inflation of it. And that is something that is very difficult to prepare for. We've been talking this week about hyperinflation as well. Not that it's necessarily going to happen, but it can happen. And how to be prepared for that is something that we need to think about. I'm not saying we need to be preppers, but we need to have faith in the real power.
Is it true that governments never pay the bill of debt? It's the people that pay the debt.
People pays the deal. Yeah, so looking down the track, Phil, you're looking at an incredible debt for future generations. Fiscal easing, the printing of money, is how the system is still moving forward. We're in an economic scenario in the US or in different parts of the world that the economists have never been in before. They didn't study about this at university. At university, they didn't say, "Oh, if you're running out of money, just print more." That wasn't, but now it is. And so, where we go from here is an unknown.
So, if you were to give the listeners today three pieces of personal, and this is not national now, like America has. Their biggest payment every year is the interest on their debt, bigger than their military spend, $1.2 trillion and counting. We're just the average Joes here, and the listeners are out there today thinking, wow, that seems something I can't do anything about. What are three things our audience could do today to prepare themselves for a pretty turbulent future financially?
Yeah, okay. The first thing would be to try and get rid of your own debt. America's not going to get rid of theirs, but if you can get rid of yours, you're going to be in a much more secure space than if you are owing a debt in a high inflation period where the interest rates and things can go up. Some people here listening they remember 18% interest on house loans. So
Paul Keating.
So get your debts down. Get your debts down as quickly as possible. Keep in mind, or look at the AI situation and look at your job and say, what impact could AI have on my career?
That's a big one. So your second bit of advice, first one, get out of debt. Because I think none of us are realising this is massive what's about to hit us. Mm-hmm. And it's not 10 years away. Mm. It's more like 10 weeks away. Yeah. Unpackage that. What your AI and your job.
Yeah, so we know, and you know, Kyle, you might want to talk more on AI. You're the AI specialist at the table.
We're in a bad place then, aren't we?
It's a scary world.
Yeah, but it is so fast moving. You know, when AI first came out, we thought, oh, well, at least if you're a doctor, you'll be okay, or if you're a lawyer, you'll be okay, or whatever. Man, that has already changed. And the guy who invented Dell computers many years ago, when these laptops and computers came out, this is back in the 60s, he said, when he talking about computing power and how it's going to change the world, and people were saying, man, this is everything's going so fast. And he said, friends, the world has never changed this fast before, and it will never change this slow again. And that's where we are still.
That's an amazing statement. Yeah. So you got a third one.
A third one? We allowed to talk about the Bible on this show?
Yeah, we love the Bible.
Good.
We love the Bible.
Trusting God. Trusting God.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's going to get you ready.
Yeah, that's going to carry you through.
And look at your job and your career path. And I think especially for your kids that are about to start uni, going through school, just look over the hill. Because this is a different world.
It is.
Very different world. And don't let your kids invest in something that's not even going to exist. But put your trust in God. That's really good advice.
On the AI front, I had a story here. Anthropic's latest model, they put it in a locked sandbox and they told it to try and escape. It chained multiple vulnerabilities together, broke out of containment, reached the open internet and sent its creator an email to say it got out.
I don't even understand what you just said.
Come on. A locked sandbox. It sounds like you had a Tonka truck in the backyard.
That's
in
right.
The sand.
That's right.
What does all that mean?
It's just they put the new model of the AI in a safe, contained environment so that it could function inside its playpen, but it wasn't connected to anything else. But they decided to test it, and they asked it to see if it could get out of its playpen. And it found multiple small weaknesses, linked them all together, got out of there, reached the open internet, used the internet to email its creators to say that it got out. All AI.
I've had little kids like that.
We find Kyle at work doing that all the time. We lock him in the room and next thing you know, he's gone.
So he's stuck in the room because you've got a marshmallow back, so he can't lift anything.
But yeah, it is scary, the pace at which it's going. And then another article I saw here earlier was saying that within 6 months, the free models of AI that everyone can grab and use for free, they will all be able to break any version, any operating system like this model can. They will be able to hack it, essentially. So all the free models of AI will be able to hack all of the operating systems that currently exist, available freely, widely, openly. And there's quite a lot of discussion about whether or not quantum computing and quantum AI will actually be able to hack the blockchain and all crypto that everybody has recently invested in.
The Ukrainian war has dramatically changed in the last few weeks. Ukraine is making enormous gains because their drone warfare is now run by AI, and they're able to reach 150 kilometres behind the Russian front line. It was a standoff. Now they're going back and they're blowing up the factories, the production lines. They're destroying a $90 million tank. Is it billion or million? Million-dollar tank with a $2,000 drone or $500 drone. And warfare is now being run by these bots increasingly. And everything that we know, I just watched a clip on the Sean Ryan podcast where they've shown him the latest robot that walks around with him. It shakes his hand. He tries to push it over again and again, and the robot, all on its own thinking, just steps back. And the creator of these robots, they're producing one every 90 minutes in their production line in this factory in America. He's saying in the next 6 months, in the next year, the next model is going to be twice as good, three times as good. It's just the speed in which everything's happening. And I always think of the great statement that the last movements at the end of time will be rapid ones. And artificial intelligence is just speeding everything up again and again and again to what was already a crazy fast world. It's just really quite scary. But your third point, it's the ultimate point.
This is where, this is the part of the show where you say, there's an apocalypse coming. It's all, we're all going down the drain, but
no,
don't worry. Is that how it works?
That's how it works.
Amen.
If you have your faith in God and the Bible, this book is going to become the most valuable. Over the Easter break, King Charles copped a lot of criticism because he wouldn't give an Easter message. One of the bishops in England has come out and said that King Charles is aligned with the Islamic faith now as the head of the Church of England, and that's caused huge controversy. The crazy thing, while King Charles is walking over to Islam, young men and women all around the West are walking back to Christianity and coming back to churches. And I say to the church people listening today, God is sending young men and women, sometimes not so young, to your church, because he's getting people ready. Because we do have a perfect storm, a crisis coming on every side that we look, and the world is getting set up for that, and God's preparing people. And the people that are going to be prepared will be people who know this book and the author of this book particularly. That's what's going to get you ready.
Amen.
I've actually got one last question to finish on. Very important. This week, America has set out to go back to the moon. In one of the interviews, he said the first time for the moon, that they're heading for the moon for the first time. And Alex Jones has had J.P. Sears on his show and asked him whether or not he's convinced that the new moon mission is real. And he says, I don't really feel convinced. I'm wondering, is it true that we are going to the moon? And if we can go intergalactic like this, what impact does that have on humanity? Is this going to extend our time on Earth or shorten it?
Aren't there rumours that China's gone to the moon regularly?
I haven't heard these, but...
Yeah, that...
I've been there three or four times is what's being rumoured, but I think we've got enough problems on Earth. I'm not sure the moon's got too many solutions for us.
Okay.
I think most of our problems are spiritual in nature.
Mm.
And fighting the moon or going to Mars and somehow that'll be better, we would have a war over there. We'll have a war with China on the moon next. You know, it's... Humanity's problem is not going to be solved by finding another planet.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested to know, we'll get the audience involved here. I'd just like to see hands up. Are they going to the moon right now? Yes? And then hands up, we are not going to the moon right now. This is all a stage. Wow.
Wow, it's about half.
It's about half half. That's very interesting. Okay.
I think you're right. All that matters is that you know Jesus Christ. You don't have to have fear, and it'd be a shame if you listened to this show and thought, oh no, you know, inflation's going up and I've got to sell and I've got to do this. Trust in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He'll tell you when to sell your house. He'll tell you how much to sell it for, and he'll guide and direct you in everything that you do. Our faith in Jesus Christ is the most important thing today.
Why don't you lead us in prayer, mate?
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your amazing love. And thank you that you have all the answers. The devil is a defeated foe. And we just pray that we can put our trust and faith in you and guide us through this time on earth which is never been seen. So, Lord, you know the beginning from the end. You know us. You know our hearts. Lord, come into our hearts and guide and direct us in Jesus' name. And if there's anyone that needs to know you, that is listening to us today, I just ask that they seek you with all their heart. Pray that prayer. Lord, come into my heart. And we just ask that they will go to an Adventist church near them and ask for Bible studies. Lord, we just thank you so much for your amazing love. Guide and direct us, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen. So that book offer again is Israel and the End of the World. Text the word Israel to 0482 082 876.
It's been great to have Julian, someone you know, smart on the show.
Someone reputable.
Yeah. Thank you,
we're
Julian.
We're sorry we've wrecked your reputation.
Yeah, there goes everything.
Try and forget it all.
Thanks, Justin. Thanks, Kyle. You've been listening to The Perfect Storm. Have a lovely afternoon.
See ya. Bye.